bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Yeah, nice to be back. Nice to be back home. Back home where everybody knows your name after that 9-game, 11-day road trip, but a pretty good trip. They went 6-3, and they come home now with the best winning percentage in baseball. Tonight, they entertain the Boston Red Sox in the first of a 3-game set. Skipper Buck Showalter right after this.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Manager's Report. Back from a 9-game road trip, 6-3. I know you're happy about that, but how nice is it just to be back home? It seems like it's been a long time.
Well, it is. It is. You know, we've been around a lot of people pulling against us, so it's good to get back here. And I think some people don't realize, you know, we're going 11 days, and there's a little adjustment period coming back, you know, but it's what have you done for me lately situation. We got a really tough series here with the Red Sox, and, you know, we got to be ready. They're playing as good as anybody in baseball, probably one of the best teams on paper in baseball.
I mentioned going 6-3 on the trip. What were some of the keys there? Not a lot of runs scored, but it seems like they were timely and you had some other things working for you.
Well, obviously our starting pitching was really good, Rock, for the most part, with a couple of hiccups here and there. And anytime you pitch well from a starting standpoint on the road, it's impressive. And, you know, Wade's been solid. And, you know, Ubaldo really gave us a good outing. But I think that was what allowed us to be really competitive on the trip was the starting pitching. We're going to need that to stay in this hunt.
J.J. Hardy had the great at-bat last night, down 0-2, works at the 1-2, couple foul balls, and the RBI single. Is that what you consider a professional at-bat?
Well, I got to tell you, their bullpen ran some power arms out there. You know, they were 8 or 9 bullpen guys deep. You can see why they're so high on those guys. You know, J.J., we were talking about last night on the plane. He's one of those guys that he never, ever takes anything that's going on offensively out to defense. He's engaged in the defense and trying to bring something. But on the flip side of that, too, he never takes 3 at-bats where they are not productive to give a reason just to say, well, it's just a bad night. He stuck his nose in there and flipped one out over the infield, and Trum had a great secondary lead there and was able to score. But that's typical J.J.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter on tonight's Manager's Report. Seth Smith not in the lineup. Obviously, there's a lefty on the mound, Pomerantz. Is he available? Is he getting closer? What's the status on him right now?
He's getting closer, I think. You know, we're going to have to make a decision if we get to that point. Fortunately, with a couple left-handed starters and knuckleballer, the left-handed hitter doesn't play into it that much. But, you know, he's worth waiting on. He's going to go out and test it a little bit today and get an idea where we are with it because, you know, we're playing a little short there in Cincinnati National League game. That was a challenge for us. We were lucky yesterday I didn't come into play.
What do you remember seeing from Pomerantz? Obviously, earlier this month he allowed the one run. What made him a challenge?
Well, he had a pretty good repertoire going. You know, he had everything working for him. Pitched up in the zone some, threw a lot more fastballs than he does in the past. You know, we were talking about Dave's coming off a not nearly as good outing as he had against us. So I think you'll see him kind of go back to that approach a little bit. I think we're going to go over in the advance room and show what he tried to do to us last time. But the stuff plays, and when he has all three working like he did, then it's going to be a challenge even though you're prepared for it.
And going back to injuries, Joey Rickard, is he supposed to hit today, or would you wait till tomorrow for him to try live BP?
Yeah, he's already done flip work and some other things. Running, throwing, fielding is not the issue now. Tomorrow is supposed to be off coaches, and that'll give us a pretty good idea. But he's still got a little soreness in there. We'd like to get that last bit out of there.
And last question, Jason Aquino, we were told starting tomorrow. What made you favor him? I know you're deciding between him and Alec Asher.
Well, we had a lot of, you know, we're going to have to find out about both of them, Rock. It's just part of, we're going to need both those guys. And Aquino's coming off a good outing. He basically won the spot in the spring. Ash had a really good outing. He's shown a good background in long relief. We had a left-handed star with Miley yesterday. We felt like the right-hander would match up better in long relief. If Wade had a bad outing or had trouble there, we also have a predominantly left-handed lineup that's going to be Boston's going to feature, and with the left-handed starter in Aquino, we're able to follow him with Asher. So they're both going to get starts over the course of the year, and I just, you know, the opportunity to let Aquino was going to be passing because we're not going to need a fifth starter until sometime in May after this one. So it's just an opportunity to get a good look at both these guys and try to get a feel for what we've got.
Thank you, Buck. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. Well, the Orioles' hottest hitter right now is Jonathan Schoop. 8 straight games, 3 home runs in those games, and he and Jim Hunter on the warm-up show when we continue right after this.
The Orioles are back home after a very successful but long road trip, and tonight Boston in town for the first of three and visiting with Jonathan Scope. You look back at that long nine-game trip, it seemed as if it was business as usual, and the Orioles went out and had a very good 6-3 trip.
Yeah, you know, we went the road, you know, with a positive, and we came back really good road trip. You know, we like to keep doing what we're doing and trying to win as many games if we can.
One of the things about this team, Jonathan, really going back to 2012 when the team had a very good year and made the wild card, there's a resiliency to this team that nothing carries over from today to tomorrow. Why is that?
You know, like the guys we have, you know, the veteran guys, you know, the manager, you know, the coaches, everybody, you know, like if, like, I remember my first home run that I hit in the big league, and Adam told me, you know, act like you did it already, you know, like don't be, you know, I know inside you're really happy right now, but act like you've done it already, you know, and that's why, you know, if you did a mistake, you know, you learn from it and come back tomorrow and trying to correct it, you know, and if you do have a really good game, learn from it again and forget about it and get the next one, you know, and don't live in the past too much.
Acting as if you've done it before, that does show a class, but I guess what it also shows is you guys know that whatever, you're always going to have a chance to be in a game, and if you happen to lose today, you just bounce back tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, we always, with this team we have, we always have a chance, always, you know, we can be down 10 run, you know, we always can came back in one inning, and, you know, if we don't do it today, you know, we always have tomorrow, and come back tomorrow strong and trying to win. That's all that matters, you know, after the game, win.
All right, I've heard players, I've heard Buck talk about this, that in particular with this team, because there's always a focus about working the count and trying to get into a hitter's count. But I've heard that players think, well, that first pitch in an at-bat might be the best pitch. Now, lately, you are raking on first pitches of at-bats. In particular, last night, your home run was on the first pitch. Now, is this a style change in your, or was it just what was going on the trip?
You know, it's how the pitcher, you know, you got to adjust your way in a pitch. You know, I remember my first year, you know, I got to learn in the quick, you know, how the pitch pitch me, you know, like they, you know, that's why the major league, you know, that's why you got to make adjustment too, you know, and we was going to the scouting report, and I know, you know, they're trying to get the first pitch strike, and then after that, they're going to go around the zone a little bit and get myself out, you know, and that's why, you know, I was ready for the first pitch every time for strike, and then put a good swing on it.
All right, so when you're looking first pitch because you feel that scatter report on that pitcher, that's what it is. You're going up there then looking for a fastball.
I'm looking there going for a fastball. You know, look in, go in there and be ready to swing or strike, you know, and eliminate balls, you know, and trying to put a good swing on a fastball. And if it's change up a curveball in the zone, I will try to put a good swing on it too.
You know, it was an interesting road trip. The Orioles win six games, and in three of the games, you won 2-1, 2-0, and 2-1. It is so hard to win scoring two runs. So what that showed me as I watched those games, all right, maybe the hitting was being held back, but you got some clutch hits, including you, when you needed it.
Yeah, you know, we got some clutch hits. Like yesterday, JJ, you know, I better, you know, and I say I bunt it when I swing it, I bunt it. I'm trying to
move.
Yeah, and JJ come and clutch it. You know, and show the bullpen, you know, you got to take credit to the guys, you know, they come in there and throw strikes and get outs, you know. I take my cap too to the bullpen for the Reds, you know, they got good stuff, they got really good stuff.
You know, when you look at the long baseball season, the regular players that play, not everyone is hot at the same time. And if you are, it's very unique. Right now, you and JJ at the bottom of the lineup are really contributing. In fact, you have 15 RBIs combined between you. That's a real strength for this team.
Yeah. You know, there's this team, you know, from 1 to 9, everybody can do damage. Everybody contribute, you know, like it's not like only the top guys at the lineup gonna do damage, you know. The bottom two, they're gonna do damage to you, you know. That's why the team is so unique, you know, from 1 to 9 can do damage, and we can score not only home run, you know, we show we can score different way too.
Well, and that's important because even though this team is in scoring position when you get into the batter's box and it will hit a share of home runs, if you tend to rely on that too much and then the other team shuts you down, then it is difficult to score.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, if you rely on only home run, it's difficult. You know, this team hit a lot of home runs, but we can score different way too, I know, and we believe in each other, and that's why you pass the baton. You know, if I don't do it, you know, I cheer for JJ, I cheer for the guys there behind me and the guy in front of me. I want him to do it. If I don't do it, I'm going to try my best to do it. If I don't do it, the guy behind me is going to try to do it, you know.
And we know that others are going to heat up. I mean, Manny hasn't even gotten going yet, and the team is 10-4. And again, that's the beauty about how this lineup is spaced. Whoever happens to be hot at the moment, that person or that quadrant of the lineup can carry the team.
Yeah, you know, like you say, you know, nobody is out in the same time. Now it's the bottom part. Me and JJ got a lot of clutches. Manny, you know, get good swing. You know, he hit the ball hard, but right at it. But it's going to come. You know, it's going to fall for him. And he's the best for a reason. You know, when the ball starts falling, there's nobody can stop him, you know.
Well, that's Jonathan Scope. And Jonathan is the hottest hitter on the team right now, as Joe mentioned. He's got an 8-game hitting streak. He has 4 multi-hit games in those 8 games, batting .387 with 3 home runs and 8 RBIs. And he and Hardy at the bottom of the lineup are really doing a tremendous job. And you look back last night to Cincinnati, they had the 2 RBIs. It was Scope's home run that got the Orioles the lead, and Hardy's base hit in the 10th inning that got the Orioles the win. So contributions at the bottom, that certainly is helpful for a team that's hoping to contend. And the Orioles off to a real good start at 10-4. And from Baltimore, it's the O's and Red Sox. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. I'll tell you what, Jim, these days for the Orioles, 2 runs is plenty.
You know, it's amazing, Joe. We talked all last year, the year before that, how tough it was for this team to win when they score 3 runs. And I want to give you some historical perspective. The Orioles have now won 3 consecutive games scoring 2 runs or less. That's only happened in the history of the Orioles franchise since 1954 3 times. This is the 3rd time. The last time was 1972 against the Chicago White Sox over the 4th of July weekend, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. They won 2-1, 1-0, and 2-1. And how about these pitchers? Pat Dobson, Dave McNally, and Mike Cuellar. And the only other time prior to this year, 1965, a doubleheader sweep of the Angels on the 25th, 2-1 and 2-0. And then on the 26th, 2-1 with 2 in the bottom of the ninth. I mean, it's amazing. It's very rare that you're even in games when you only score 2 runs. And now for just the 3rd time in the franchise history, going back to 1954, the Orioles have pulled this off. It's incredible.
Yeah, very unusual. I mean, they won 11 games so far this season. And now 4 of them have been games they won and get just 2 runs. They've gone 2-0 in extra innings. They're 5-1 in 1-run games. Yeah, they're getting it done. And you can't do that without good pitching. Tonight it was Bundy, it was Hart, it was Givens, and it was Brad Brock again. Hey, Bundy, early in the game tonight, Jim, the double play, his best friend.
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, Boston got the leadoff man on in the first, Pedroia, and then Benintendi a double play. Then in the second with 2 down, there were 2 men on, 1st and 3rd. He got a big strikeout of Sandoval to set up the double play, and then got Vasquez on the double play. And then again in the 3rd, a leadoff single, a fielder's choice, and then a double play. And when he's throwing ground balls like that, he is very, very tough. 7-plus innings for Bundy, and the bullpen comes on. 2 scoreless innings. The bullpen is really coming on at the right time, which is good to see. And Brad Brock not only pitches for 3 consecutive days. Second time this year he's pitching 3 straight games, but earlier there was a day off after the first one, and then he pitched in 2 in a row. 3 consecutive saves stepping in for the moment for Zach Britton.
Well, every Oriole pitcher tonight all got big outs. Bundy got a bunch of big outs. Downey Hart came in. He got 2 huge outs with men on base, men in scoring position. And Michael Givens came in, got 1 huge out. He got Mookie Betts with runners in scoring position. And then Brad Brock with a 1-2-3 ninth. The Red Sox in the game tonight, they went 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And the postgame show brought to you by Browns Honda City. Buy happy with Browns. Now we talk about double plays for Bundy early. Well, in the first inning, Pedroia got a base hit. And then Benintendi came up to hit. 0-2. And Bundy, long look, and now delivers. Benintendi, ground ball up the middle. Hardy's got it. Flip the scope. There's 1. The relay got him at first base. A double play. Nicely turned. And kind of an awkward double play because by the time J.J. got to the ball, he's behind second base, and he almost had to shovel the ball behind him to get the ball to scope. But he did, and they turned the 6-4-3 double play. In the second inning, Ramirez got a base hit, and then Bradley got a base hit. So Bundy was in trouble. But then he struck out Sandoval, and then he went to work on the catcher, Vasquez. And now the 1-2, ground ball to short, slowly hit. J.J., scope, got 1. Here's the relay, in the dirt, And this time the big fella digs it out. Another 6-4-3 double play. The second one in two innings. And again, the Red Sox come up empty. Yeah. And then in the third, another double play. This time J.J. unassisted, and then to Davis to get the 6-3 double play. Now, in the bottom of the third, it was a nothing-nothing game. One out, bases empty. Gentry would double into the left field corner. And then he would go to third base on a pass ball, and then Mr. Jones picked him up.
2-2 the count. Runner at third, one down. The pitch to Jones, swinging a line drive, and a base hit to center field. Adam Jones delivers. Gentry scores, and the Orioles break on top. It is a 1-0 Oriole lead in the third. A double by Gentry, a pass ball, and a base hit as Adam Jones has a tremendous at-bat. As he picks up his 7th RBI of the year, and the Orioles grab the early lead.
Yeah, there you go. So the Bundy after the double play ball in the third, but he came back with a 1-2-3 fourth. And then he came back with a 1-2-3 fifth. Vasquez waits. Bundy delivers 1-1. And a breaking ball line to Scope up in the air, makes a tippy-toe catch. And Bundy, another 1-2-3. He's retired 8 straight. So far tonight, Bundy 5 scoreless against the Bo Sox. There you go. Then in the bottom of the fifth inning, 2 outs and the bases empty. Manuel Machado, hasta la vista, pelota. Pomerantz into his motion. He delivers 2-1. Machado fly ball into left center. This ball is way back there. Start waving. Wave it bye-bye. A line drive home run. He got the fastball, and Machado turned it around. Back about 11 rows into the seats in left center. Machado, his 4th, 2-0 Orioles. Actually, his 3rd, 2-0 Orioles. Eventually, he's going to get a 4th, but that was just his 3rd. Then Bundy, again, a little trouble in the 6th inning. He gave up a single, then a walk. Red Sox at 2 aboard, nobody out. He got Benintendi on a fly ball. He got Mookie Betts on a pop-up. And then he went to work on Mitch Moreland.
Here's the 1-0, swing and a high pop-up. He's going to get out of it. Left side of the infield, Machado's there. He's the only infielder over there. Right near the bag, he makes the catch. What a job by Bundy. 1st and 2nd and nobody out. And not only does Boston not score, the runners do not advance.
Yep, at that point, the Red Sox were 0-6 with runners in scoring position. Orioles had 2-0 lead. Bundy came back. He got him 1-2-3 in the 7th inning. Now, he did come out for the 8th. Vasquez came up to hit. Dylan Bundy winds and delivers. There's a line drive. Machado cannot get to it. That's a base hit. Came up maybe 3 feet short to make that catch. And so Vasquez gets aboard, and now Buck is coming out to bring in, I imagine, Donnie Hart to go after the left hand hitting Marco Hernandez. So that will do it for Dylan Bundy. Buck is just now getting out to the mound. And the fans are at Camden Yards. They're on their feet. And they're giving Dylan Bundy a standing ovation. Let's tune in here. All right. Nicely done, Dylan Bundy. Then the bullpen went to work. Donnie Hart, he did walk the first batter. But then he got Pedroia on a deep fly ball out. And then he went to work on Benintendi. Orioles ahead 2-0, 8th inning. 2 aboard, 1 down. Benintendi digs in. Donnie Hart will check the runs and delivers. Benintendi takes a call, strike 3. He snuck a fastball right past him. Nice pitch. Big strikeout. And that will do it for Hart. Buck Showalter comes out, going to bring in Michael Givens to go after the Mookie Monster. He did. And he got him, too. Mookie Betts, 1-1. And the pitch on the way. Jammed him. Popped up. Right side. Scope is there on the infielder to make the catch. My goodness. Now the Red Sox are now 0-9 with runners in scoring position as Michael Givens comes in and gets the Mookie Monster. And he gets him on a little soft pop-up. And that's it. He did. That was it. And Brock in the 9th. He got Moreland on a ground ball. he got Ramirez on a fly ball, and then he went to work on Jackie Bradley Jr. And the 0-1 pitch, little comebacker past Brock. There's Machado. He slings it. Got him at first base. And the ball game is over, and the Orioles have come home. And tonight, two is all they needed. Again, in the win column, as they beat the Red Sox 2-0. Dylan Bundy, Donnie Hart, Michael Givens, and then Brad Albee Brock getting it done. Same two teams again tomorrow night, the postgame show. In a moment, Jim Hunter, as we continue on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. Orioles shut out the Red Sox 2-0. The Birds have now won three consecutive games, 4 out of 5, and after a 6-3 road trip, get the opener of the six-game homestand, blanking the Red Sox 2-0. Let's hear from the skipper now. Head downstairs. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
What's up?
You were saying from Dylan tonight, is that pretty much what you've been seeing?
Yeah, he got a couple of key double play balls, you know. We wiggled out of some things. They set the table quite a few times, and we were fortunate to get out of those situations, but he made some good pitches. Changeup came around for him a little later in the game. Used all four, needed them. That's a good lineup, obviously.
But the way he started the season, four consecutive quality starts, a really good ERA. I mean, how impressed are you with how he's been able to start things off this
Dylan?
First month?
Yeah, you know, we could tell, you know, he had gained a lot of confidence and maybe not. Gained a lot of confidence from last year and felt good physically, and there were a lot of things in his favor to get off to a good start. You know, he really came into camp in good shape, and arm felt really good, and he's taken it and run with it so far.
Three saves in 3 days for Brad, and you know, in the past you've avoided using Brad 3 days in a row.
Yeah, he threw 10 pitches, I think 9 pitches yesterday, 10 the day before, so you know, he felt good. We checked him. We're having to kind of do some things differently in the bullpen and try to stay away from Darren and him too much together. And that's why the going to have to do some things with Donnie and Michael to get through this period. So, they took advantage of the opportunity, got some key outs. But, I think a lot of it had to do with the way Brad went through the two innings the last 2 days, and he felt really good today.
Manny's slide into second, it appeared right straight on the base. Did it look completely clean to you? And
I haven't got a good look at it yet, but, it's I have to look at it. I don't want to talk about something I don't know a whole lot about. I don't know. You guys have to tell me to bounce off the bag. Or I know it's one of those things that's really unfortunate. You don't like to see those things happen. Hopefully Dustin's okay.
Has the fact that slides like that have been outlawed changed how they're reacting to?
I haven't seen a slide. What was illegal about it?
Well, just that, he went through the bag and guys – I don't know that.
Well, I think, I don't really know. I have to look at it to react to it. But there's a lot more about that game than that. But I know that's where the drama plays.
So is this a little bit of a new reality for the bullpen right now where you might get Donnie Hartig facing a tough right-handed hitter?
Well, Pedroia is a neutral split. You're picking poison left or right. He's not a guy that you're gaining a big advantage. Michael got a big out with Betts, who's the same way. You could find somebody to throw between their legs and they'd have good at bats. But we were fortunate. You put that game in that situation with those type of hitters up there, we were fortunate. I thought Gentry had a big game tonight on base 3 times, made a play down the left field line that sure doubled with most left fielders. Just about if he could have kept the throwing line, I think he had a shot at throwing out Vasquez, I think it was.
You want to keep Brock and O'Day apart in case you need O'Day in a safe situation if Brock's
trying
not
to, but we had a situation in Cincinnati where they both had 4 or 5 days off and they needed to pitch, so we got them together there. Then there's a fine line too, Peter. We got off days coming. When you got an off day coming, you'll manage it differently. You're trying not to go into a game. You also see a game that you got a chance to win and you go for it sometimes. But just because doesn't mean it's always going to play out that way. We were fortunate tonight. Usually they take advantage of those opportunities they created for themselves.
Well, did you get any update on Zach's MRI?
Yeah, looked good. They did everything. Elbow looked really good. I guess they take it of everything. And that bodes well, obviously, down the road. But they found what they thought they would find, and, you know, we're moving forward. Nothing to hold back as we continue progress.
Buck, did Manny say anything to you about the slide?
Did he say something to me about the slide? No, we're trying to win a ball game there. You could tell by his reaction. He felt, felt bad about it. But, you know, I'm not going to go over and, you know, there's plenty of time for that. But certainly something you don't like to see happen, especially, Manny's had some challenges there. Scopey's had some challenges there. You know, guys that, so you hate, they know what it feels like to be in that situation. I know we lost John for a couple of months. I think it was Sandoval, wasn't it? It was a clean slide. It was a good, clean, hard slide by Sandoval. It's just one of those things in the game, but I haven't looked at it yet. I hope that, but I know how those things seem to play out now for the next day. What else?
If you got in a situation, would you be comfortable with Michael in the ninth inning if you had to use him in that situation?
Comfortable is sometimes by necessity. You know, Donnie Hart, I told you all before that because of his background as a closer, he can defend himself against right-hand hitters. You don't want to put it too much. But, Donnie's made a lot of close pitches, and Pedroia took borderline. They were balls, but a lot of guys offered those pitches. But Donnie wasn't going to – you know, he just missed it in the ball out of the ballpark too. So, you know, we were fortunate in a lot of areas tonight, I thought. And you don't like your chances too much, putting yourself constantly in those situations. We did 3 or 4 innings. You know, you don't like your chances inducing Benintendi into 2 ground ball double plays. I tell you, the leadoff ball that Moreland hit, I can't tell you how difficult play that is for JJ. That is a hard play. You got that long in between hop, and you basically just got to stick your nose in there and try to take it. I was surprised that he caught it. I thought he would take it off the chest. But, you know, coming off that trip and getting in so late, I was really impressed. The one guy that got in early on an early flight looked like he was rested. Dylan was good. Glad we got him on a flight yesterday. Okay, thank you.
Buck Showalter's post-game comments as the Orioles shut out the Red Sox 2-0. Birds have won 3 in a row. They're now 11-4. And they grab the opener of this 3-game weekend series with the rival Red Sox.